Welcome to our fourth sermon in our sermon series entitled, When Life is Unfair. Today's sermon title, Sacrifice and Trust. Open your Bible to Psalm 4, verse 5, and let's begin.
Father, thank you so much for this time to be together, to struggle together, Lord, through the unfairness and the ups and downs in life. God, help us to be wise in how we respond. Lord, we know that you do not promise us smooth sailing all the time. You don't promise us that everything's going to turn out the way that we want. But Lord, you do promise that you'll use every painful moment for good and none will be wasted. And so Lord, help us to respond in a way where you can take the brokenness in our life and you can make it into something that is transforming to us and honoring to you. And we ask this in Jesus' good name, amen. Well, I want to talk to you today about conflict. I know that's probably everybody's favorite topic. And I want you just to think about the last good fight that you had with someone. Maybe it was your spouse. Maybe it was your kids. I know we're starting off on a high note today. Maybe employees or friends or something like that. And we all have different styles when we're in those moments of conflict. You know, some of us may be very conflict-oriented, and in those moments, we tend to maybe say more than we should, maybe get overly aggressive or things like that. And then on the other hand, some of us might be the exact opposite. We don't say enough. We don't really express what we're thinking or feeling, and neither extreme is healthy. They both are actually equally dangerous, whether we're too aggressive or whether we're too passive. And there's a great book called Crucial Conversations, and I read some time ago. And in that book, the author talks about how when we're in conflict, we either resort to what he says, silence or violence, where we're either too quiet, we don't speak up, or we're too over the top, too aggressive. And he said, but then sometimes silence leads to violence. You know, where you kind of hold it in, and then it just erupts. And so he tries to offer a healthy and a wise way to deal with conflict. Because here's what I think we all know. Every broken relationship at some level was ruined because of mishandled conflict. Right? Every hurt relationship, every estranged relationship, every broken relationship, it was because of mishandled conflict at some level. There was no resolution. There was no understanding. Maybe things got really, really ugly at one point, and they were hard. It was hard to move on. On the other hand, this is the other interesting thing about conflict, is that conflict is also one of the greatest developers of relationships. That conflict can actually be something that makes our relationships more strong, more intimate, and helps them to develop and grow. And so the interesting thing about conflict is that when we're faced with it in a relationship, it will be an opportunity either to allow that relationship to disintegrate and break down, or an opportunity for that relationship to get traction and grow and become stronger. You with me on this? And the real decision that we make in these moments is when our relationship is in conflict, what are we going to hold on to and what are we going to let go of? What are we going to hold on to? What are we going to grip really tightly and what are we going to let go of? So for example, when you're upset with someone, you could hold on to, you know, maybe the mean things that they said or they did. And you hold on to that, but what you're giving up is the opportunity for forgiveness and reconciliation. You tracking with me? Or maybe you're in a conflict and you give up your feelings of anger and you sacrifice those because you hold on to the hope that we can make this work. In every conflict, we're always making this choice, what am I going to hold on to and what am I going to let go of? And if we hold on to the right things, then conflict will be something that deepens and strengthens the relationship. And if we let go of the right things, then it will be something that deepens and strengthens the relationship. But the opposite is also true. if we hold on to the wrong things and we let go of the right things, then that conflict could disintegrate the relationship. And this is even true in our relationship with God. And in this series, we've been talking about what happens in those times when we're disappointed with God. And when we're disappointed with God, when something happened, and we say, you know what, God didn't do this, so I stopped doing this. God didn't answer the prayer that I prayed so desperately, so I stopped believing in him. Or God didn't allow these circumstances to unfold in the way that I hoped, so I stopped going to church. I stopped trusting in him or whatever. When we hit those moments where I would say our relationship with God is in conflict, then this whole idea of what we hold on to and what we let go of is incredibly important, and it applies there. You with me on this? And so we're going to look at Psalm chapter 4, verse 5, where David, who, as we've been kind of going through this, we've been looking verse by verse, and he's been giving us some helpful insight into how to navigate these times. So Psalm 4, chapter 4, verse 5, page 449 in the Bibles. There's some Bibles in your seats if you want to read along. If not, it will be on the screen. Here's what it says. Very short, to the point. He says, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. That's it. That's our verse for today. Really beating you up with the Bible this morning. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. And if you remember this psalm, it's in the context of David is at a time where he's disappointed with God, where he's frustrated, he's confused, he's struggling. And he's been saying all these different ways of how he's handling it in these previous verses, and today we get to this one. And this one needs a little bit of explanation. I want to just talk through it. The first part is offer right sacrifices. And if you remember, David lived 3,000 years ago, long time ago. And in his time, he was part of the nation of Israel. He was actually the king. They had a temple or a tabernacle set up where they would go and worship God. And when they would go, they would offer sacrifices. They would, you know, cut up live animals, they would burn them at the altar, and then they would take it home and have a barbecue of some kind. And this was part of their religious rhythms. And when David says offer right sacrifices, what he's getting at is that God didn't really care about the animal sacrifices. He cared about the picture that was to create in people's heart and how the process of that would change people's hearts and minds toward God. And so David is saying, offer the right sacrifice. In other words, know exactly what God really wants from you. He says it really well in Psalm 51. This is another one. Let's throw Psalm 51 up there. He says, you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. That's kind of the animal offering or grain offering. There's all different kinds of ones. He says, but the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And so David says, hey, I get what you're really going after. You don't want this slab of ribs from me. You want my heart to change. You don't want this great steak. That's not really the point. You want something internally in me to be transformed. And so David says, when you're in a time in your life where your relationship with God is strained, he says you have to give some things up. And that can be really hard because you feel like things already aren't going the way that I want. God, I already feel like maybe you've shortchanged me. And how can you ask me to give anything else up? But what David is showing us is something that's really powerful. That anytime God asks us to give something up, it's not because he wants something from us. It's because he wants something for us. You with me on this? It's not because he wants something from us. It's because he wants something for us. And in giving that thing up, it feels like we're giving something up, but what it's really doing is allowing a moment for God to use that process and that opportunity to change and transform our hearts. So let me explain it this way. When God calls the people throughout the pages of Scripture to be generous to others, he's not asking them to give up their resources because he needs them or the world is lost without them, but he's asking them to do that so that their lives aren't gripped by greed and materialism and they make really dumb decisions. You tracking with me? So what he's asking them to give up is really so it will be something for them through that process. Like when Jesus says, hey, don't live your life full of lust, he's not asking you to give that up, to take something away, but so you can have relationships that are meaningful and powerful and life-giving. And he says, without giving this up, you'll ruin it. You tracking with me? And so these right sacrifices are opportunities where God's not taking something from us. He's actually doing something for us. And so David says, make sure you give up the right thing. And here's what I think this can look like when life is tough and life is unfair and we're struggling. See, when things don't go my way, it's easy for me to sacrifice proximity to God. We're going to sacrifice something. Anytime there's conflict, we're going to choose something to sacrifice. But is it the right thing? When life gets tough, sometimes what I'll do is I'll sacrifice proximity to God. I'll stop praying as much because maybe I'm angry or I'm upset. If I didn't work at the church, I might stop going, you know, a little bit or something like that. I'll stop being around people of faith. And what I'll do is I'll slowly just distance myself from him. And that's a sacrifice that comes pretty easy and naturally during difficult times. But is it the right one? And I think David would say, no, that's the wrong thing to sacrifice. Or sometimes when life is hard, I'll sacrifice my joy and well-being. I'll just let the dark clouds of life consume me. And I'll kind of look at everything through the lens of pain and frustration. And then everything sort of just has a darker color to it. And what I'm doing is I'm sacrificing the opportunity for some joy and hope in my life. And David said, yeah, it's natural to sacrifice that, but it's the wrong sacrifice to make. Or maybe I'll sacrifice any hope and expectation that I have of God. And instead of looking to God as man, you're the source of how I'm going to get through this moment, I'll try to find a different source. And I'll sacrifice that trust in who he is and what he wants to do in my life. And so David says, yeah, you can sacrifice that, but it's the wrong sacrifice. So what is the right sacrifice in these moments? When life is unfair and when I'm in relational conflict with God, what are the things that I need to give up? Well, I think they're just the opposite of what I talked about. I have to sacrifice the impulse to distance myself from God. Instead of sacrificing my proximity to God, the right sacrifice is to say, you know what, I'm not going to follow that impulse. I'm not going to allow this to push God out of my life. I'm not going to let that happen. I also need to sacrifice my unwillingness to believe good things about him. When life is unfair and life is painful, it's easy to make snap judgments about God's character and his reality. And I get it. And in fact, as we've been going through this series, this series is no way a judgment on anyone or how they've went through their pain and struggle because as I've heard people's stories and read about people's stories, I read them and I think, man, if I went through what you went through, I think I'd be way worse than you're doing right now. Like that, where you're at is amazing. So this is no way a judgment, but we have to be aware of what we're sacrificing. And so what if instead of making a snap judgment about God, we gave it time and we said, God, I don't get this and I don't like this, but I'm still going to give you time to be at work and to direct me in this and to see your goodness. And so I'm going to sacrifice my need to have a quick answer right now and to make a quick judgment of you. We're all going to sacrifice something in these moments, but is it the right one? Is it the one that will actually drive our life in the right direction? And so David says, you're going to give something up. Make sure it's the right one. Here's another thing to sacrifice in these times is our bitterness and our anger. Our bitterness and our anger. To just say, you know what, I'm not going to allow this experience to embitter my soul. But God, I'm going to give that up to you. I'm going to give my anger to you so that I can go through this in a healthy way. So David says, offer the right sacrifices. And then he says this next point. And he says, and put your trust in the Lord. So this is where our sacrifice is what we give up. He says, you're going to give up something. Make sure it's the right thing. And then putting our trust in the Lord, it's what we hold on to. And so David says, I'm going to give up the right things in this pain, but I'm going to hold on to the right thing as well. And when we're in the midst of the struggle in life, we all have to decide, what am I going to hold on to? What is going to be my anchor in these moments? And David says, my anchor is going to be the Lord. And here's what it means. It means that putting my trust in the Lord, it means that if I'm going to get through this, it's only going to happen through a deeper experience of God. That there's no way I can get through this without connecting to him in a way that's more real and deeper than I'm connecting right now. And again, I know that often in these moments, it feels like the last thing we want to do. You know, usually when the last thing I want to do is pray, it's probably the very thing I need to do. Right? When the last thing I want to do is work out, that's probably the thing I need to do. We could go out, life's just kind of like that. Usually the thing we need to do is not the thing we want to do. And the thing we want to do is probably not the thing that's going to help us at all. And so it gets really confusing and it gets difficult. And so David says, look, I'm being very aware of what I'm hoping in and what I'm letting go of. And I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. If I'm going to make it through this moment, I'm going to need a deeper experience of him. Because at the end of the day, I absolutely believe God is the only one who can get us through these times and make our life what it needs to be and make us who we need to be through the process. He's the only one. He's the only one that can really make our life better in those moments and make us better at life. Give us the tools that we need to keep going forward. And so David says, I am putting my trust in the Lord. Philip Yancey says this, when faith is hardest and least likely, then faith is most needed. When faith is hardest and least likely, then faith is most needed. And faith is just that willingness to put our trust, to put our hope in the Lord. And David says, I'm going to hold on to that. When I'm ready to give up on God is when I most need to take a step towards him. When I'm feeling like I just want to turn my back on him, when I'm feeling maybe angry and upset and confused, those are the times where it's most important I get David's words and I take a step towards him and say, I cannot get through this without you. And here's the deal. Here's why we can know God can be trusted even in these moments, even if we're unsure of whether he can or not. If you had someone in your life that always had your back, no matter what, you would put a high level of trust in them, wouldn't you? If you had someone in your life that you, maybe you heard that, you know, people were bashing you and you weren't around and no one really that was connected to you was around, but they stuck up for you, you'd be like, wow, that's pretty awesome, right? Or if there was someone that maybe they had your back in a moment and it cost them a lot. Like then everyone turned on them because they wouldn't turn on you. You'd be like, wow, that's a good friend. That's someone I want more of them in my life, not less. And what we see in the pages of the New Testament is that is exactly Jesus Christ's heart and attitude towards us. That he has our back when everyone is against us. That he is for us when there's nothing for him to gain by being for us and only everything for him to lose. Here's what Peter said. Peter was a man who hung out with him for a few years and even actually turned his back on Christ and has this amazing story. But toward the end of his life, he said this, "For Christ also suffered once for the sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." He said Christ suffered and was beat down, not for his own mistakes, but for our mistakes. The righteous, the one who didn't deserve it, for the unrighteous, who is us. And his point is, he's showing us something about the character of God. He's showing us that in Christ, that there is someone that he chose really wisely about what he would give up and what he would hold on to. And here's what Christ held on to. He held on to his love for us, and he gave up his life. Right? He gave up counting our sins against us, and he held on to this mission to be the sacrifice that would forgive us and bring us back to God no matter our past or resume or anything like that. What Peter is showing us that in Christ, when there was conflict between heaven and earth, when there was a whole broken humanity that was far from God and hostile to God, Christ said, "I'm going to figure this conflict out. And I'm going to hold on to my love and mercy, and I'm going to let go of their sins and brokenness and hostility towards me, and I'm going to bring them back to God." And so what we see in that moment is there is a God that is absolutely trustworthy. That even when it doesn't look like it in life, we can always go back to that moment where Christ gave up his life, where Christ was resurrected, and we can see that as a moment where God is saying, "Look, you can trust me. I had your back when it cost me everything. I had your back when all there was for me ahead was loss and pain. And I didn't back down. I'm not going to leave you high and dry now. I'm not going to forsake you now. If I was going to forsake you, it would have been back then. It would have been in that moment. I would have passed up the cross. But I went right to it, and yet you will never be forsaken by me." And so David says, "I'm putting my trust in the Lord." Who else is more trustworthy? Who else has our back like that? Who else has proven their loyalty to us like that? I would say no one, not even close. And so David says, "I'm going to hold on to that trust. I'm going to grip God with the best grip I can, because in this moment, I'm going to need him to get through it." I read a really interesting story this week about a research that a lady named Dr. Morfu, something like that, she did. Got a difficult name. And the research was, she was studying all these diving accidents. So people that went deep sea diving, scuba diving, that sort of thing. And then they ended up kind of having a really difficult experience, and they ended up dying. And she found that story after story, something really, really weird would happen. That when these scuba divers would be found, they would be found that they had drowned, but they still had plenty of oxygen in their tanks. And so she was like, this doesn't make sense. They drowned because of lack of air, but they had their little scuba thing. I'm not a scuba diver. You know, they had their little deal, and they had plenty of air in the tank. And what's the deal? And what she realized was that when things would go south under the water, people would panic, and they would pull the valve out. And she said, it's because it's kind of a very human thing to do. When we get panicked in life, when we're in a tough situation, you know, we want to clear anything that feels like it's obstructing our breath, our ability to breathe. And so without thinking, they would just make these spontaneous decisions because they were in so much stress and conflict and that sort of thing that they would just pull it out and they would not realize that they had just created their own death sentence, essentially. And her point was, is that when things are tough, sometimes we make really bad decisions. And we take away the very thing that we need to survive. We're always going to give something up. We're always going to make a sacrifice. We're always going to put our trust somewhere. And when I thought about that, I thought, we do that with God. Life gets tough. And so what do? Instead of breathing the air of his grace, we get panicked and we pull out the valve. And we just feel like there's some reason we can figure this out on our own without him, and maybe he's a problem and that sort of thing. Instead of realizing he's the very thing that we need. He's the only thing that can get us through this circumstance in a way that will make us something better, in a way that can redeem the pain and the loss and the disappointment and get us to the other side. David says, I'm going to make the right sacrifice. I'm going to take a step, and I'm going to think about what I'm doing. And then I'm going to put my trust exactly where it needs to be. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us in these moments. God, I pray that you would fill us with your wisdom, with your grace. I pray, Father, that you would, help us to navigate our pain in a way that is healthy, that is pleasing to you, that is right in your eyes. Father, I know all of us, we have a different story. It's a unique story. It's unlike any others. But God, there isn't a story that you can't add value to. There isn't a moment that you can't guide us and lead us and help us out of. And so, God, I pray just that in our pain, Father, we could give up the right things and we could put our trust in what we need to. And Lord, I just pray for all these good people that in their time of pain, God, your presence and your love would be real. It would be transforming. It would be helpful. And Father, then I pray that as you fill us up with your comfort and your grace and your goodness, we could offer it to other people in a meaningful way. And I ask this in Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.